Second chapter of 1 Corinthians, we invite your attention to the reading, a few verses to introduce our thoughts for today. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Now, it wasn't that Paul could not have used the very choicest of words in his speaking, because he was an educated man, but he didn't depend on his education. He didn't depend on his ability within himself. So he makes that very clear here, that when he came to the Corinthians, that he did not come to make a show of his ability. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ. He put that above everything else, and Him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. Now, I don't think Paul was talking about his physical weakness, even though he was, according to history, a weak individual physically. His health was not good. I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. I think his fear was with regard to his being sure that he preached the truth, as well as the trembling. To be in the presence of God is fearful. In fact, the Bible so says it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. And my speech and my speaking or preaching was not with enticing words. And that word enticing means persuasive. You know, I think sometimes, well, I know there's a lot of pressure put on people to the extent they get ahead of God. I'm talking about unsaved people, pressure being placed on them. And that's a dangerous thing, especially children. My speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Now, if the Spirit of God is not in our labors, if we are not directed, led, and under the influence of the Spirit of God, our labor's in vain. If we haven't learned that, it's time we learned it. I think we've learned it. Now, why did Paul make this statement? He said, my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. And here's the reason: that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, are complete, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world was, under our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. That's reading 8 verses from the 2nd chapter, 1 Corinthians. I want to use this morning, without any further comments on the lesson, verse 2. And these are the words of Paul. For I determined not to know anything among you save or except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I don't suppose there was a man that ever lived that is any more determined man than Paul was. He is determined when he's a sinner to carry out what he believed. And he made a strong effort to do it. Paul had his mind made up that he was going to destroy the church. And he was going to put an end to every believer if he could, in what had been preached or taught by the foregoing apostles. But you know, he made an acknowledgement later and confessed to the fact that he did it all in ignorance. Now, a person can be determined about a thing and still be ignorant. That's right. You hear people say sometimes, well, you know, he's just too positive in his speaking, and he's just too influential, seemingly, to be wrong. Well, the devil's got determined people just the same as God has. And they're out to carry out their will and their desires, and they go at length to do it. I've said this many times, and I'll say it again this morning, that if God's preachers, and I'll limit it to the preachers, I say, or speaking to the preachers, if we were as determined today to see that people heard the truth and were as little afraid to preach it as Paul was in his day, I believe we'd see a difference. Now, as for the gospel that Paul preached and all the other apostles preached and Jesus preached during his personal ministry, it's the only hope of a lost world. The gospel is the message of salvation, the good news that man has a Savior, that the only thing that will reach the soul of an individual. Now, I've heard a lot said about people living in the world today that can see the sun and the moon, the stars, and the elements that exist around them. And seemingly people want to think, or they want to justify their thinking, that a person can just look at the stars or the moon or the sun and the sky overhead, and that's sufficient. Well, I say they can look that far and know there's a God. And they can believe that there's a God. by seeing those things. But they can't be saved by just seeing those things. And we need to get that out of our mind, if we have it in our mind. It takes something else besides what we can see around us to convict us of our sin. And that's the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, I'd like to establish some things right here today in the minds of everybody. Largo said this morning a Sunday school lesson about the work of the church and God's people in their responsibility to work for God and to carry out the commission that God left in the hand of the church. And that's true. It needs to be done. Now let's look a little further into this matter of the gospel and how much rests upon the gospel today. Paul, in his letter to the Romans, in the 10th chapter of Romans, he said, how can they believe on him whom they have not heard? Now, how can they believe on Jesus Christ if they've never heard about him? Let me use another phrase right here. Talking about the heathen that's in the heathen lands today, there's an idea that exists among our people, at least some of them, that if they never hear the gospel, they won't be responsible. Well, now, my Bible teaches me that Christ died for all, and we understand if Christ died for all, then we're all dead. So all that are in the world today, wherever they may be, in heathen land or in America, a land of Christianity as well has been called, they are lost and without God and without any hope in the world unless they hear the gospel of the Son of God. And that's why it's so important that mission work be done in the right way. And I sometimes wonder what it's going to take to have the right way. I'm honest about that. In these days in which we live. Paul, in his letter to the Romans, he said, how can they call upon him in whom they've not believed? And how can they believe in him whom they've not heard? And how can they hear without a preacher? How can they hear without a preacher? Now, I believe in a God called ministry. If I didn't, I wouldn't be in this pulpit this morning. And I believe God has a purpose in every preacher that he calls, and he also has a field for every preacher that he calls if they'll be willing to fill it. But the one point that I want to put across to your mind this morning, well, wherever the sinner is, the unbeliever, he must hear the gospel of the Son of God in order for him to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I want to go a little further than that. I said you could see the surroundings, a sinner could, and know there's a God. There's no question in my mind about that. I don't see how anyone could observe the handiwork of God's universe and not believe there's a God. I've always wondered about the people that call themselves or are identified as atheists or infidels. I've wondered if they haven't just been trying to excuse themselves. And some of them have proved that when they come down to die, they have prayed. But be that as it may, a person can know there's a God by the universe, but you know this Bible said they that come to God must believe that he is. That's the first thing. And they can believe that all the days of their life and die and go to the devil. That's right. Coming to God has to be directed by the Spirit of God in connection with the gospel message of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And unless the Spirit of God accompanies that message to the heart and reveals Christ to that heart, they'll go on in their sin. Now that's why Paul preached, or rather why he requested that his brethren that knew the Lord, he said, brethren, pray. And I want you to pray. I want everybody that knows God, when I stand in this pulpit, to pray that the message of the gospel might have free course. For without its freedom and its accompaniment by the Spirit of God, you'll never see any effects. Because it's just not in me, and it's not in any preacher, to make the gospel effective. That is in the hand of God. But let's get back now. If there ever was a person determined to see that the message got out, Paul was one of them. Do you ever know or hear, read about any man that endured as many persecutions as Paul did? That there was ever a man that was hindered as much as Paul was? And you know what I think? I think Paul, every time he had a persecution or a hindrance, he looked back to the times when he hindered others. And he just waited right on, knowing that the same one that enabled those that he hindered to be successful would make him successful in his work. So he was a determined man. Well, what do you say about this preaching of the gospel? He said the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. But listen to what he said about those who are saved. But unto us who are saved, it is the power of God. Now, the preaching of the cross at that time to the most of the Gentiles was foolishness. And to the Jew, it was a stumbling block. Their law that they had been taught and that they confided in and trusted in, when the gospel came along, there was only a few that was able to override and to see the truth of the symbols and the figures that they had witnessed through their figurative worship through the years. And when Jesus came on the scene, there were just a few that received him. Just a few that received him. But let me call your attention to this fact. To them that received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. And what I'm stressing today, my friend, without that power and the liberty and the authority that Jesus gives to become a child of God, you couldn't be one. So this idea of accepting Christ and making decisions and walking the aisles is of the devil. And I'm not making any apologies for that statement, because I know, as Paul knew, what it took for a person to be saved. All right? Notice something else. Paul, in writing to the Corinthians, well, There was a confusion or a division that came up in the church of Corinth, as you well know. And I think it all came up over baptism. Really what I think it came up over. Some of them said, I am of Cephas. Some said, I'm of Apollos. Well, why did they get that idea? Because they baptized them. They were the ones that baptized them. After Paul preached the gospel to them, they got saved. They were baptized by Paul, Apollos, and some were baptized by Cephas, that is the Apostle Peter. And they claimed them as their preacher because they baptized. Now, I know that is a special feeling in the heart of anyone for the person that baptized them. I've got a special feeling today for the man that baptized me. They evidently had too much. They were putting too much emphasis on the man that baptized them. Well, some of them said, I'm of Paul. Who were they that said, I'm of Paul, the one Paul baptized? You know how many that was? I baptized, Paul said, I baptized Crispus, and I baptized Gaius, and I baptized the household of Stephanus. And besides these, I don't know whether I baptized anybody else or not. Now, I'm convinced today that the ones Paul baptized were claiming him as their preacher. The ones that Apollos baptized were claiming him as theirs. And the one that Peter baptized claimed him as theirs. But Paul said, Christ sent me not to baptize. So baptism is not going to save you, people. For Paul was sent to turn the people, to open the eyes of the people and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they might receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among them that are sanctified by faith that was in him. And what did Paul say about that? He said, though you have 10,000 instructors in Christ Jesus, yet have you not many fathers. For I have begotten you by the gospel. Now I want to say one more thing right here. There's no gestation period between a person being begotten of God and being born of God as he is in the human family. Or anything else in the animal life for that, as far as that's concerned. When a person is begotten of God, they are born of God. And I used to believe that there was a period between a person being begotten. I thought that was conviction. No, that's not it. A person can be convicted of their sins and go on in sin, as is taught by many in the scriptures. If it was a begetting, my friend, they'd be born again down the road somewhere. But when a person is begotten of God, they're saved by God's grace. And this Bible said, he is begotten of God, keepeth himself, and that wicked one toucheth him not. Who is that? That's the soul of the individual. The devil can't get there. Just can't reach it. Let's look a little further into this matter of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Paul said, this gospel I preach unto you, I assure you, is not after man. Neither received it by man. Man didn't give it to Paul. He didn't learn it from man. Why, when Paul got saved and called to preach, because he was saved and called to preach at the same time. That's right, on the road to Damascus. He didn't even go up to Jerusalem to the disciples or apostles before him. So he wasn't taught by the apostles. Where did he get his teaching? Well, I judge he must have been around 30 years old when he got saved. Somewhere around there. And he was saved in 37 A.D. Well, immediately after he was saved, he went into Arabia, where he stayed 3 years. 3 years in Arabia. And he said he wasn't taught the gospel by man, and neither did he receive it of man. But where did he get it? He was taught it of God. And he said, I knew a man 14 years ago, whether in the body I know not, or in the spirit I cannot tell. But such a one was caught up into the third heaven and heard unspeakable words which is unlawful for man to utter. That was when he was experiencing God's dealings and teaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ and enabling him to deliver it. So, Paul preached the gospel that he received from God. Now he tells us how it was. And I call your attention to a scripture that you'll find in the it's in the Corinthian letter. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, whereby ye are saved. Get that? And wherein you stand, unless you believed in vain. Now, it's possible for a person to believe in vain. They can believe and receive nothing. It takes belief with all the heart. When a person believes with all their heart, eliminating everything else, trusting in Jesus Christ and Him alone, they'll be saved right there. Let's finish that scripture. Wherein you stand, unless you believe in vain. Now, what did he deliver? I delivered unto you first of all. There you go. That was the first thing, and that's the first thing a sinner needs to hear, is the message of salvation, the good news that he has a Savior. First of all, how that Christ died for our sin. And he did. Not only did he satisfy the broken law that Adam had broken, but he paid our sin debt on the cross of Calvary. Died for our sins according to the scriptures. And that he was buried and rose again the third day according to the scriptures. What scriptures? Well, the Old Testament scriptures. That's all they had. They didn't have the New Testament at that time. It was written later on, and that's why Paul in the 13th chapter of 1 Corinthians tells us, when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. What did they have in part? Spiritual gifts. That's right. They had the ability or power to heal the sick. They had the power even to raise the dead. Gifts. But I want to point out something else right here. Every spiritual gift that the church received, the apostles received it, and it was to justify and clarify the coming of Jesus Christ and the gospel message to a lost world. Not like today's supposed or claimed healing, divine healing. Now, people were healed in those days, but it wasn't for the sake of the person that was sick. It wasn't for the sake of the person that was blind. Of course, it benefited them. But it wasn't primarily for their benefit that they were healed, or the lame was made to walk, or the blind was made to see. But it was to accredit the gospel message of the Son of God and the church that Jesus was leaving here in the world. That it is of God, that it's God's power, and he was not doing it for the benefit of those that were maimed or sick or blind, but to honor and glorify God. Now, the gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, Paul said. And he said, I'm not ashamed of it. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it's the power of God and the salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first. And it did come to the Jew first, and they rejected it. And you know when it happened. And Paul told those people over there, seeing that you judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. Sinner, if you're here today, and I'm going to have to close shortly if I make my journey. But if you are here today, I want you here as for eternity. I want you to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ as the power of God unto salvation. That Jesus Christ died for your sin. The payment has already been made. It doesn't have to be made. It's already made. And you just need to appropriate it to yourself. And the only way you can do that is by repentance toward God and faith with all your heart in Jesus Christ, who died for your sins, who went to the grave, arose again, and lives today at God's right hand. He is your mediator. He is your advocate. He is in your place before God. I want to put one more thing to this, and then I close. You remember when Onesimus, the slave, under Philemon, left Philemon's home, his master, run off from his home, left him. He came upon Paul and heard the gospel by Paul. As a result of the gospel that Paul preached to Onesimus, he got saved. And he followed Paul. He didn't want to leave him. Paul had brought something to him that he wanted, that he needed. And he wanted to stay with Paul. He had no idea of leaving him like he had left Philemon. But Paul persuaded him to go back to his master. And he wrote his master a letter, and it's headed Philemon. Philemon, that's in the New Testament. And he told Philemon, he said, Onesimus, he'll be far more benefit to you now than he was before, as well as he has to me. And he wanted to keep him, but he knew it wasn't right. He had run off and left his master, and he needed to go back home. But here's what Paul said. If he owes you aught, if he has done you any wrong and owes you anything, put that on my account. Now, I want to tell you something. When Paul told Philemon to put that on his account, that account was paid right there. When Jesus went to the cross of Calvary and died for the sins of the world, he paid sin's debt. Do you believe it? Do you believe it? You need to appropriate that to yourselves. If there's sin between you and your faith with all your heart in the work of Jesus Christ, you need to get it out of your way. And that'll come about by repentance. Moving not only sin of unbelief, but every other sin that's in your way of our approach to God. Turn with all your heart. Get ready to meet the Lord. He's coming one of these days. I don't want you to be left out. God don't want you to be left out. But he will not do one more thing than he's already done. In his love, he gave the best he had, his only begotten Son. Salvation is there for you if you're willing to meet the conditions. And go away, even today, from Faith Church with joy and gladness in your heart by believing in Jesus. That's my message. Is there a word from anyone? Any request you'd like to make?